Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
The fat lady may not be singing, but I can tell you she's humming awfully loud. Good morning. Happy Friday to you. The Texas Rangers want a challenge. They got one. They got one big time. Series, is it over? No. Hey, down 2-0. They go 3 at home in Texas. Why not? Why not? It can be Texas, but I'm going to tell you what. The way I judge teams is how they're performing. Are they doing something that allows you to think that they're going to get better? This is an awful, awful sight to watch if you're a Rangers fan. And if you're a baseball fan, it's been a drubbing and an ass-kicking, and it's not close. Now, if you're a Ranger fan, you're going to tell me everything and the reason why they can come back and win, and they can. I picked them in 7. I don't really like my chances anymore. I don't like my chances anymore because they are getting dominated, folks. Dominated, and it's not close. And right now, I'm sure people across the country are saying, this is the best the American League has to offer. Here's exactly why, aside from Matt Cain was sensational last night. What's he, 20-plus innings now, no runs. The guy's at lights out. Got that Harpo Marx haircut, the big afro. When he takes it off, it just explodes like a chia pet. I'll damn well tell you he can pitch. It's Lincecum, Lincecum, Lincecum. Matt Cain ain't far behind that. I like C.J. Wilson, pitched well. My only question is this, and people love him in Texas. He's made a great transition from the bullpen to starter. I like him. Confident young kid. Hopefully he's learning a lot from Cliff Lee. I'm just trying to figure out after this many innings throughout a full season, all of a sudden a blister comes up at this time. I'm not saying there was no blister. You saw him messing with it in the dugout. There was a blister. Man, remove me from this. I'm just saying as a fan of both baseball and basketball and football or all three and hockey, and a blister on a pitcher is the same as a rotator cuff, I'm sure, that's sore on a quarterback. I get it. I'm a fan of C.J. Wilson. I guess it's surprising to me that all of a sudden I don't understand. I mean, that'd be like you being a weightlifter and all the time and you get those calluses on your hands and then all of a sudden – for 7 innings or 6, you're going to get another callus after you've been working out and doing it for inning after inning or lift after lift. It's odd. It's odd how all of a sudden it becomes tender. And like I said, I'm not questioning because we saw the blister. We saw him toying with it. We did. And it was a close game when he went out. And we've watched the guy pitch very well and lights out at times all year long. But there's just a different mentality, folks. I'm sorry, in sports, there's just a different mentality. I remember my rookie year playing in a preseason game, and Greg Gaines, who you Tennessee Volunteer old school fans know, about 6'1", bullet, 6'2", 205, 210 pounds max, playing linebacker for us in Seattle, great special teams. We called him Bullet Head because he's head, and he'd run down the field and knock anybody out in his way. But we were in a preseason game. This is back when the Arizona Cardinals were in St. Louis. This is 1986. And in Busch Stadium. And Greg comes out and gets his finger caught in a helmet. And it turned bent sideways, and you could see the bone. It was awful. He was a guy trying to make a team on a regular basis. He taped that dang thing up and finished playing a preseason game. Okay? A preseason game. And we can go on with a million stories. Jack Youngblood playing with a broken leg, the rest of it. And this is by no means. Hey, a pitcher, I understand. You know, I think at times the baseball's soft. I do. I'm sorry to tell you. I just do. I'd rather go to watch baseball than I would go to the Super Bowl. I'm a huge baseball fan. And I'm not saying this as a general rule for baseball. And this isn't why the Texas Rangers lost, and it's not CJ is tough, and CJ's got a big heart, and they love him here, and like I said, I'm a huge fan. But I can assure you, take a look at number four this week, which we'll get to. He and Childress, there's a possible battle here about who's, is Favre's streak going to end, or is Childress going to play him or bench him? Does Childress have the balls to bench Brett Favre if Favre says he's healthy enough to play against the Patriots? But that ain't keeping a blister on his throwing finger ain't keeping him out. It's just not. Is there a difference? Is there a difference? A blister on Tom Brady's finger will not keep him out of the game. It can be right on his throwing index finger, which is the release point for a quarterback. I train quarterbacks. I know I played it, the release point. A blister, I don't care if it's 4 inches gashed open, that will not keep him out of the lineup. It's just odd to me. That's all. Odd. Call it what you want. I'm not questioning all those people. Oh, don't question CJ. I'm not. I'd ask him while he was sitting here right now if I could. What is? I mean, I've pitched. I was a pitcher. I played baseball. I get it. I don't understand it, but I get it. It just seems to me in a situation like that, when he went out, they went to hell in a handbasket. He's pitching really good baseball. But I don't. Those are things I just don't get. World Series, Game 2, I don't know. How's a blister get you out of the game? I don't know. I wish there was a major league pitcher calling me right now. And I'll interview one when this series goes on. I'll get one of my buddies on, or I'll get a pitcher across the league, and I'll interview him. I don't know. So it's just a question to ask. Would a blister keep you or pull you out of a game in the World Series? Texas Rangers are in trouble. Like I said, the fat lady's humming loud and clear, folks. Very loud, very clear. The Texas Rangers can't hit. The Texas Rangers can't get anybody out. And you know what I saw? I felt awful for Derek Holland last night. I know he's going to be killed today and has been killed in the paper and people going off on him and fans and the rest of it. But I got to tell you, I felt bad for him. 11 straight balls in a clutch situation. Walk, walk, walk. I mean, no innings pitched, 3 walks, 3 runs allowed. It was awful for the poor kid. And I feel bad for him. He's young. He got a really bright future. I know they like him here in Texas. You feel terrible for him. You come into a situation, and then the low has to come into a situation. That's not fun. That's not fun. I know it's a World Series, and you got to do your thing, but that's not fun. That's not fun. But the San Francisco Giants are completely dominating this, and I don't see any reason why it won't continue. I just don't. I picked the Rangers. The series isn't over. But I can tell you the one thing. If the Rangers lose Game 3, good morning, good afternoon, good night. This series is over because the Rangers I got as much shot at going back and playing for Favre on Sunday as the Rangers do a win in a series down 3-0 with the way they're playing if they lose this game on Saturday. It's not happening, folks, if they're down 3-0. Not against a scrappy team like the Giants. You're not losing 4 in a row when you still got to face Kane and Lincecum again. Won't happen. Just understand that now. So they better get off their ass and find a way to get something done and scrap around. But it doesn't look like the same team, the Rangers. They're doing stuff that we didn't see them do in the regular season. I saw them. I've watched them play 90 times this year, counting TV and in person. And if we couple that with highlights, didn't miss much. But something's not right. I don't know if it's confidence. They're less confident now than they were pumping themselves into Yankee Stadium with all that tradition. Now, they may not tell you that, but it sure looks like it. A little tentative at the plate, having trouble throwing strikes, gloves aren't as good, letting people take bases, all these things. And it seems like they're getting rattled quicker than they normally would. But I believe in this team, and I think they'll come back, and I believe in Ron Washington. I think they'll hang. What a difference momentum makes for about 2 inches. How does that ball stay in the ballpark Ian Kinsler shot for a double? How does that stay in the park? You think a ball that's hit that hard with that kind of rotation, regardless if it hits the front, the spin on it, you would think would kick it over the fence. How many times have you seen it hit the fence and not come back to the top of the fence and not come and roll over the wall? Comes back in play for a double, boom, ball game over. Didn't even look back. Just like that. The Giants right now are a far better team than the Texas Rangers. because they're doing it on the field. On paper, you say, hell no. On the field, it's exactly where they're doing it. So game three on Saturday. Question is, over the weekend, I wonder how these ratings are going to be. We don't. I mean, I don't care. It's not me. You like baseball, you watch it. But now you got to deal with Saturday, which is, I think, a 6:57 Eastern start, which is going to be 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on the West Coast. So basically 7 o'clock, four on the West Coast. You got SC playing Oregon this weekend. You got all the college football you need with a huge weekend. And then Sunday night's game is going to deal with the Sunday night football, which is the Steelers and the Saints. And then we're back to Monday night football, which, remember, 13 of the 15 highest rated programs on TV this year have been football. And with a 2-0 series of a blowout, if you're just a mid-level foot baseball fan and an average football fan, you're going to turn on and say, well, it's 2-0. Let me see. Oh, no, I'm watching football. This could be as devastating to ratings as we've seen in a long time with a 2-0 lead, San Francisco and Texas. It ain't like it's Philly against the Dodgers, the Dodgers against the Yankees, or Philly against another American League team, the Yankees or the Boston Red Sox. It ain't like it's the Dodgers versus the Yankees and Reggie Jackson getting three home runs with three consecutive at-bats, three consecutive pitches, if I'm not mistaken. So this is different. Not only are you in cities that the rest of the country may not be interested in when it comes to baseball, you're dealing with Saturday, Sunday, Monday, bingo, bango, bongo with football, 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 when the college football's only got, what, 4 or 5 weeks to go in a regular season. NFL's darn near halfway through now. I mean, this is some stuff now. Major League Baseball better hope and pray that they get themselves a lights-out game, because it's going to take three lights-out games to keep anybody even interested. Because even if you are watching, me included, I'll be flicking to football. I'm not going to watch every pitch of this game on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Just not. Less interest because of the series, but truth is, even though I love to go to baseball games in person when it's the heart of football season and it's 2-0 like this and the domination, you think I'm going to miss Oregon-USC for a World Series game? Are you out of your damn mind? If they conflict, I got to check. I don't even know what time the Oregon-USC game is. But if it does conflict, the truth is, it really doesn't matter. If it was the Iowa game, I mean, I'm going to be watching football more than likely. And on Sunday night, you watching the Saints and the Steelers, or you watching the World Series? I know what I'm watching. So they got their work cut out for them. They got their work cut out for them. My man Rob Schneider, who I was with in Benchwarmers and was part of the Longest Yard also, great guy, treated my kids awesome. And my kids were both in the Benchwarmers with me in the movie as baseball players on my team. Schneider's a huge Giants fan, and he's loving this. He's absolutely loving this. As you remember, he was the home run hitting star in Benchwarmers, the movie. So we got baseball, but we got a domination right now. Renteria, Sanchez, Kane, Huff, you name it. People you don't know are kicking your ass if you're a Texas Ranger fan. Looks like Matt Cain's unhittable. You may want to face him far less than Lincecum right now. Down 2-0, I can hear her. She's about 400 pounds. Needs two plane seats, and she's humming as loud as could be for the Texas Rangers. Don't let that fat lady sing. We'll try not to right here on Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. Do I got a show for you that I'm coming out with sooner than later? We'll talk about it before this hour's up and make our picks right here on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network. Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day on the radio and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. on Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific. Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals at gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, yeah. Locked in right here. Rangers down 2-0 and have given us no sign to think that they can come back from this, although I picked them and I'm sticking with them. And this team's been able to overcome all year long. They better stay out of a three-game losing streak, because if they don't, done. LeBron James can't play point guard, folks. Call me at 888-346-9144. That's why the Miami Heat aren't going to win this NBA championship. Oh, yeah, LeBron can. I'm going to tell you why he can't. I guess he can. Call me about your baseball if you think that the Rangers have a chance. Real quick before I get to LeBron and what's going on here. And like I said, we'll hit some football. But my man Kevin Brown says, San Francisco had a lot of pitching, has a lot of pitching and offense that is sizzling. And that's it. See, it's not how great you are. It's how great you are when it matters. It's like the NCAA tournament. You think Butler could line up and in the preseason, the regular season, we thought Butler was we wouldn't have picked Butler in the top 25 most talented teams in America. Their butt got there and their butt got to the big game, though, didn't it? Roll right through it. Roll right through the tournament because they got hot at the right time. And that's all that matters. Because every team's got players that are getting paid and that are pros. You guys aren't Major League Baseball because they're a bunch of slack-ass just fell off the last turnip truck and landed Major League Baseball. Not a bunch of slapdicks out there swinging bats and just hoping that they hit it. And right now they could hit it with a broomstick or a toothpick the way the Giants are playing. So let's give them credit. Let's remember they are pro baseball players getting paid. The other team's pretty good, meaning the Giants, and the Rangers are good too. But right now the Giants are better. It's how you play when the time is right. Preseason, spring training, if you're hot then, well, good for you. Doesn't count. Middle of the season, hot then, great. You get to the playoffs. Get hot in the first two series, yep. Division championship series, yep. But you sure as hell don't want to go cold at the wrong time. And the Giants have gone sizzling at the right time. So Kevin's right. He goes, Texas better bring the bats and jump on them early in game three or this series is over. I'm a big Dodger fan, and it kills me to give the Giants props. Well, Kev, you gave him props as well, you should have, because this team is absolutely lights out right now, the way they're playing. Two things. Carmelo Anthony says it's time for a change. Shocker, he wants out. He wants out. He wants to go to the Knicks or the New Jersey Nets. Okay, well, they better come up with something to give him. So we'll see. Blake Griffin, great coming out party. Is, again, a rookie after what happened last year, but he comes out with 20 points and 14 rebounds. He's a full-grown man now. You're going to be hearing from him. But here's why LeBron James has 17 turnovers in two games, folks. He handles the ball. 8 in the first game, 9 in the second. You can't play him at point guard. Because you can, but you're going to lose a bunch of games, and you're going to be hot one game, and you're going to be streaky the next. You can't beat good teams with your point turn it over 9 times. Like I said the other day, LeBron is spectacular. Arguably the best or second best player in the world. Depends on who you talk to. And Kevin Durant's not far behind. But you can't continue to turn it over 17 times in 2 games. Well, how come nobody's talking about that? LeBron's a great talent, great player. Decent shooter, gets to the rim, is a man-child, all that stuff. But you know what? He's careless with the basketball a lot of times. The Miami Heat are not winning an NBA title without a point guard. Sorry to tell you. Unless they make a switch and somebody else plays the point, LeBron is not a point guard. He'll make a great passer, great vision. Heck, this guy's special. But you know what? When you turn it over 17 times in 2 games, if this was a guy that wasn't LeBron's stature, we'd be killing him right now. Our foot would be so far up his ass. Matter of fact, if you had your point guard turn, if Rajon Rondo turned over 17 times in 2 games, Doc Rivers would have him sitting right next to him on the bench. Chris Paul, Darren Williams, they'd all be sitting next to their coaches on the bench. And we know this. So while he's a great player, let's call him great when he's great, and let's call it shitty when he's shitty. And 17 turnovers in 2 games, even though they won one of them, is shitty. They will not beat the Lakers. They will not beat the Celtics, as they didn't already with 8 turnovers. They will not beat the Nuggets if Carmelo's happy. They will not beat the Spurs. They will not beat Orlando. They won't beat those teams turning it over 17 times in 2 games. They just won't. Once in a while they will, because Wade will get you 30 and they'll get 3 of the big 3 getting double-doubles. Excuse me. He's averaging 8.5 turnovers a game, folks. You tell me how that is. That's not an NBA champ. I don't care if they say, well, it's early. It ain't early for him. He's been playing basketball for a long time. 17 turnovers in 2 games. And if he doesn't play a little bit overly aggressive, what happens? That takes him away from his game. He loves to slash to the basket and throw those passes, a kick out for people that are spotting up. Another reason why they need Mike Miller out there. They need to get him back as soon as possible. They can spot up and hit a jumper. He's as good a pure shooter as they have on that team. Yes, better than Wade. Yes, he's as good a pure shooter as they have. And he's a far better shooter than LeBron is. But LeBron can take over a game and give you 40, 12, and 15. But he'll also turn it over. He could get a quadruple-double, and one of them being 10, 12 turnovers. The Miami Heat are missing one element, and that is a point guard that gets it. Do you put Chalmers back in? He was on the bench in the first game. LeBron cannot turn it over 17 times if this team's going to the NBA title. They just can't. 888-346-9144. Because you know what? Nobody in this league is that good. The Heat aren't that good. Matter of fact, we saw it. First game, all the hype, everything, 8 turnovers on the road for LeBron, they get beat. Even though we went and scored, 31, turned it on in the second half, still couldn't overcome 8 turnovers. And a bunch of unforced errors on offensive fouls and the rest of it. And he's going to have to get, if he's going to play the point and he's going to slash to the basket and turn it over as much as he does, he sure as hell better start shooting free throws, because he's going to get fouled now. He's going to get the LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant rule, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, that they get the fouls even though they're not there. So he sure as hell better shoot better from the free throw line. Just one of my favorite players in the league. I disagree with some of the things he does. I love that he raises money for charity. He loves kids. I didn't like the way he went about it. I think that's, been well documented by everybody. But I don't, while he can handle the ball, hell yeah, Kevin Durant, they've talked about in Oklahoma City, that they're going to put him at point at times this year. That'll take away from his scoring and what he does best. I don't think you can force a square peg into a round hole because a guy's a superstar. There are not many guys like Magic Johnson who can be 6'9", 6'10", and yo-yo up and down and handle the ball like he did and give you 17 assists with his size and the way he dribble and still go out and get you, triple-doubles. And not turn it over 2 times in a game. There's not many of those guys. There's some guys, Jordan could do both, and that, and when Kobe can do that where he's in the, in the triangle offense where you got semi-point guard, you don't, and the motion, and you're moving and running, but they still don't let Kobe play point most of the time. Now, they'll clear out and get him at the top of the circle and let him do his thing. But you damn well know that when it gets right down to it, Kobe ain't playing point because then you're taking him away from what he does best. Now, I want the ball in his hands at the end for a clear out and kick out or drive to the rim and get fouled. But I can't have LeBron James or the Kevin Durant of the world playing point guard unless three guys are injured. You just can't. The point guard, if he's playing in the NBA, then that's the fault of the Miami Heat for not going out and getting somebody that could actually handle that position. Let's get to Anthony out in New York. Anthony, what's going on? How are you, my man?
Sean, how are you today?
Good, buddy.
Oh, you kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. I actually, before you even started talking about it, I wanted to actually talk about point guards in the NBA.
Well, and I apologize for not getting on it for a second there. I got so carried away with LeBron, I forgot you were on. So I'm glad you're here as always, my man. He can't do it. I mean, he can do it because he's talented, but they can't win an NBA because, you know, he'll break the record for turnovers. He will
on this pace,
turnovers
absolutely.
Playing point, Anthony.
Yeah, no. I was wondering, and you brought up Chalmers' name. I mean, Chalmers has played a few years in the league, and I mean, granted, he's not a great player, but I think for the superstars they have around him, he's a great distributor of the ball and plays defense. I don't see why. I mean, they have Carlos Arroyo playing the point on and off a little bit, but to me, Chalmers is a younger player than Arroyo, and I think he would actually make maybe he's a good passer of the ball.
I'm wondering this. To help me with this for a minute, Anthony. I'm trying to figure this out. Chalmers came in. You know, Pat Riley and the group brought him in. He comes from an unbelievable basketball with Bill Self at Kansas. He gets it. You know, and hit that big shot in the national. I mean, in the tourney and the rest of it. And Chalmers can play.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why did he get so deep into doghouse? It would seem to me that when they didn't have as much skilled players, and there's a couple years of Miami Heat where remember 2 years ago when they couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah, when Wade was hurt and everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you got Chalmers who was playing a lot then.
Right.
You don't need a superstar point guard on this team. You need a guy who can spot up and hit a shot once in a while, but is willing to distribute and play unselfish. So it would seem right now to me that this is the best time for Chalmers to fit in. When you didn't need him to try and be your third best scorer or to play a game like that. I don't understand how he got so deep in the doghouse already.
I wonder, only because you look at what Rajon Rondo, you put three guys around him and the guy's flourished.
You put three guys around him, and you remember 3 years ago, they were laughing, he was turning the ball over and he got in the doghouse a little bit, and the players were, you know, the big three were on him a little bit and had to baby him and say, come on, man. You got all this, and now it's like overnight he turned his game around.
Mm-hmm.
He protects the ball better. And I'm going to tell you right now, if the Boston Celtics lose Kevin Garnett, they can survive for a while.
Yeah.
If they lose Paul Pierce, they can survive for a while. Ray's a great shooter, they lose him. I'm telling you right now, you lose Rajon Rondo for 20 games, you're in trouble.
Right.
He is the most important player on that team and the best player.
Yep.
And I'm not
I
so
agree.
Sure. Can you imagine if he could shoot like Deron Williams from the point, how good he'd be?
He's still young. I mean, he could still develop.
That's what I remember. Magic Johnson was a set shot guy, but Magic got better, and Michael Jordan actually became a better shooter later in his career.
Yeah.
They got better, even though Jordan's not a point guard. My point is that you can get a guy like this, and you can get a Rondo who can turn a game around and becomes what I would say is close to being, if he's not the best point guard, he's real close.
Yes, I agree.
Anthony, you got other points?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah,
do me a favor. Hold on, I'll get to you right out of the break.
Okay, no problem.
All right, buddy. That's two of us, and I know there's thousands more. LeBron, they can't win an NBA title with LeBron handling it. Turn over 17 times. He got to do what he does best. Get on the wing and flash to the basket. Period. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, I answered my own question. SC games at 8 o'clock on ABC against Oregon, which is a monumental game for national. I'll get to my picks a little later on. It's 8 Eastern. Sorry, folks. There won't be a whole lot of World Series watching for me, so somebody will have to fill me in or I'll have to watch SportsCenter. I'll be toggling back and forth when there's a commercial, but there will be no World Series watching for me on Saturday night at that time. I'll be watching college football. Back to Anthony in New York. Anthony, we were talking about LeBron and Mario Chalmers and the Heat.
Yeah.
Continue to make your point, my man.
Yeah, I wanted to ask your opinion. Right now, in your opinion, the top three point guards in the NBA, who are they?
Oh, I don't even have to go any further. In no particular order, but okay. I guess I'd go Darren Williams first.
Okay. Yeah.
Rondo second, Chris Paul third.
Okay, because last night I was actually, and the NBA is probably my least favorite of all the sports, you know,
right,
as I follow, but the Phoenix was playing Utah last night, so Nash was up against Deron Williams. So just watching those
two
guys.
Yeah, that's unfair. You know what? I think I might have to take that. How often do we overlook Steve Nash?
You always do.
I guess I was going with younger legs. If I needed to win a 7-game series tomorrow,
yeah,
Nash would be in my – I can't even believe I sat here going through this. Here's a 2-time MVP, the best player on their team, the guy who keeps things going. You know what? I screwed the pooch. Because as good as Chris Paul is with the injury and stuff,
right,
no, you got to put Nash in there. And the only reason for me, Darren Williams, is at the top.
Right.
And I'd actually maybe slide Nash in ahead of Rondo for one reason. He's a better shooter.
Yeah.
Better shooter with a little bit more experience. But if I was starting a team, Rondo would be at the top of the list of the three. But Darren Williams is a really good long-distance shooter, Nash. So I would probably go, let's say we're in a 7-game NBA Finals tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
Nash, Darren Williams, Rondo, then Chris Paul. But you make a great point. I can't even believe it. I think a lot of us do that. We just kind of roll,
yeah,
along and say this. Oh, that's right. There's that guy out in Phoenix who's pretty good. But for me right now, for his physicality and the way he shoots, I'd be hard-pressed not to say that Darren Williams isn't the best threat at point guard.
Yeah, the biggest threat.
Yep.
Actually, my favorite point guard, getting a little older now, and I consider him the best for a few years, is actually Chauncey Billups. I always thought very, very underappreciated and undervalued. If you look at where he went to Detroit, made them a hell of a lot better. He went to Denver. All of a sudden, he takes a bunch of individuals and makes it a team.
You know what? Another great point. I'm going to tell you something about Billups, and I said this last year, and I'll continue to say it. First of all, I think he's the most underrated player in the NBA.
Yeah, I've been saying that.
I think he's the most underrated player in the NBA, and I do believe that I don't believe you can go around on any team, and some people don't like the Nuggets because there's a lot of chatter and they get after it, but you must have a guy like him to keep you in check. I'm not sure he's not the best leader in the NBA.
Yeah,
I mean, Denver was a helter-skelter, schizophrenic team. He came in and calmed their ass down.
Right away.
Exactly. I mean, immediately. So you could talk about all the great Rip Hamilton in Detroit and these shooters and doing all this, and in Denver with Carmelo Anthony. I got news for you. the Nuggets ain't going where they went without Chauncey Billups, Anthony or not. So there is no question in my mind. That's another great. Now, because he's a little older and people don't give him credit, but boy, oh boy, Mr. Big Shot, we leave him out. Of all those guys, nobody hits bigger shots than Billups when the game's on the line.
No,
we don't even put him in the top three. But he is, in my opinion, not just point guard. I think he's the best leader in the NBA, period.
I agree. I'm with you. And one more. You give your Trojans any shot tomorrow night?
I do, because their quarterback's playing great football. And they, you know what, there's a lot of pride. It's homecoming at SC.
Okay.
It's on grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's outdoors on grass. I mean, I know that Oregon plays outdoors, but on that fast track in Oregon, everybody picking Oregon. You know, Oregon's a national title, number one in one poll, number two in the – I mean, everybody's got them, and this is kind of – we're going to find out what SC's all about. My biggest problem is I don't think SC's defense – I think this could be a 49-41 type game. I don't believe this is a 17-14. I don't.
No.
I just think it's going to be haywire up and down the field. But Barkley, SC's offense can score, and they're only – you know, they're 5-2, a couple plays away from actually being undefeated. But we can say could-haves, would-haves, and should-haves. They haven't been able to stop anybody, and this is the most explosive team in America. So I'm picking Oregon to win. I hate to say it.
Right.
I think they're better. But, yeah, I give SC one hell of a chance because SC can move you around a little bit. I just want to see SC. They got to run the football more consistent. They've got to pound the line of scrimmage because you go two or three three-and-outs,
and
Oregon will score 17 points.
Yeah, that's the one memory I have. I can remember Hawaii putting up 40 on them. I'm like, if Hawaii could put up 40, I could see Oregon putting up 50.
No question, or 60 if they get that ball rolling and they're playing at that fast tempo and USC goes three punt, before SC blinks, it'll be 21-3.
Agreed.
And Oregon's pissed too.
Right.
Because they
should be number one.
They get bypassed. So here's what happens in this, Anthony. You think that Chip Kelly, if they're up 50, and Lane Kiffin's got some attitude. We know that. Lane's cocky and arrogant. You don't think that coaches in this Pac-10 want to prove something to the young? Say, I'm going to show him. And then they're going to show this is a show-off, no gamesmanship involved, we're kicking your ass type of attitude. Oregon's going to go in there. And if Oregon has got you by 50, they're going to try to step on SC's throat and beat him by 60. I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. But they're going to do everything they can on this national scope to get that emotional, damn, did you see what Oregon did to SC? So they're playing with here's number one in the coaches' poll, in the human poll, but they're playing with a huge chip on their shoulder, not only because it's SC, but because they still feel disrespected about being bypassed into BCS, and I get it.
Yeah, I would be too. There's
no
reason
doubt about it.
Won.
I get it, and I think Oregon's the best team in the country. SC's going to have to play their best game they've played in 2 years. To beat Oregon, and Oregon's going to – if they both play their best game, Oregon's winning.
Yeah.
If SC plays their best game and Oregon turns it over two or three times, now we got a game. But the truth is, and I haven't said this, I don't know if I've ever said this, USC's outmatched in the game.
Yeah.
USC's outmatched in the game. Question is, what Trojan team going to show up on defense? That'll be the key.
I expect them to keep it close. I wouldn't be shocked if they won it.
Oh, me either. If SC wins this game 41-37, it will not surprise me at all.
No.
But the key is, like I said, you better start fast. And you don't blink, because if you turn around and, like I said, you're three and out or to get two quick turnovers, Oregon doesn't waste any time. They will not waste. They won't be kicking field goals from 40 yards. If they're in the opponent, if it's fourth and one, and they're at that SC's 32-yard line, you think they're kicking a field goal? Hell no, they're going for it. And their idea is to put your neck on the ground and stick their cleat right in your throat. And that concerns me, but it's not going to shock me. If SC wins this, then we could say Auburn's the number one team in the country. If Oregon wins, I don't know how we can continue to crown somebody else the BCS first-place team. I just don't.
Yep, that's what happens when you put a computer in charge of
things. That's exactly right, my man.
All right, Sean.
Anthony, you're the best. Have an awesome weekend, buddy, and chime in over the weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, Sean. You have a good weekend.
Buddy.
Enjoy the games.
Appreciate you.
All right.
Anthony Perrenio, one of my favorite people, man. Him and Tim Anslinger out in Florida have both been guest hosts, and I'll have them both on again. You know, I could get celebrities and all that stuff to guest host, and I will, because I know you fans love that stuff and love the insight. But you know what? I also like hearing from you. That's why we do the show. I like getting your guys' insight. But there you have it. There you flat out have it right now. He agrees with me. It's funny. We talk about the point guards. Chris Paul and Darren Williams and Rajon Rondo. Oh, yeah, that Steve Nash dude. He's pretty good. Oh, that's right. That guy out in Denver, Chauncey Billups. He's pretty good, too. The West has some damn good point guards, folks. The West is loaded with them. Let's not forget that the two guards in San Antonio aren't bad either, and both can play both positions, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. I mean, they're pretty good, too. I mean, you're loaded with guard play in the West. You really are. Oh, Derek Fisher's clutch shooter, but we don't even put him in the list. And if Chauncey Billups the best leader in basketball, you know, you could throw Garnett in there as a great leader too, but Derek Fisher isn't far behind. College football and NFL picks. Let's start with some college real quick here, and then we'll get to the NFL. I think this is one hell of a weekend. One hell of a weekend. Sneaky game, Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Sneaky. Sneaky game. Oklahoma State, after getting beat, is going to go on the road and win. They'll beat Kansas State and Kansas State. And Oklahoma State's number 20, but this is going to be a better game than you think. You're not even going to watch it. But it'll be a good game. Miami at Virginia. I think Miami's going to win this game. Miami's number 22. But we saw the big upset, if you want to call it an upset. I'm not sure it was, even though the rankings say it was. North Carolina State's a good football team. Huge win for the program. They take care of Florida State last night. This year, Florida college football, you know what? And you can. I don't care about the – I'm talking about this is coaches' poll. I go by human polls more than I do BCS because right now the BCS, to me, is a joke. Okay? So I go by this when I'm reading this because I talk about the human polls. I'll mix in the BCS, but you know what? I think it's kind of flawed. Not kind of. I'm being sarcastic. Very flawed. But when you had a team like Florida State last night playing North Carolina State, Miami, Florida, and Florida State, all of them are they're just teams this year. They just are. Sorry, Florida fans and U fans and Florida State fans. This is not a great year. Ja'Cory Harris in Miami will break your heart, okay? He throws more picks than Favre does. And, I mean, he throw it. Talented, and Shannon's got him coming back. Florida State's going to be good. They're eventually going to be good. Ponder's smart, but we expected him to be a Heisman candidate. No. University of Florida. Brand, I mean, they're good, but they're not great. They're okay now. They're not great. Overrated from the get-go, as I said from the start of the year. But yeah, Miami will win this game. Another good game is going to be Purdue at Illinois. I think Illinois is going to win this game at home. They're favored by 17, but Purdue can put up points and they can throw it. And then you got Michigan at Penn State. Penn State hadn't been very good this year. Michigan get rolling. That's another, you know, implications for bowl games and the rest of it. But Michigan at number 25. And then Ohio State will kill Minnesota. We know that. And here's my sneaky game of the week. Stanford at Washington. Guys, Washington, even though they're 3-4, is really, really good. And they're brutal if the wind's swirling up there in Husky Stadium this weekend. And you get the two best quarterbacks in America squaring off. Now, pro prospects I'm talking about, folks. Cam Newton's a leading Heisman guy. But Luck and Jake Locker will be the first two quarterbacks drafted in the NFL. This is going to be a game. I'm going to pick Stanford, but I'm going to tell you, if we come out of this weekend and Washington upsets Stanford, don't be shocked. Do not be shocked. Michigan State at Iowa, huge, huge game. I think Iowa beats Michigan State. They're in Iowa. I think Iowa's going to beat Michigan State. This is my upset pick of the week. Number 5 and number 19 on the human polls. I think Iowa wins this game in Iowa City. That's my upset of the week. Missouri, Nebraska. I think, you know, this is another game. Well, people don't call it an upset, and I'm going to get to the rest of them. Nebraska at home, go Big Red. I think this is the week Missouri finally loses a football game. It's not an upset, I guess, points-wise, but you know what? Missouri's pretty doggone good. Missouri's pretty doggone good, as Oklahoma found out. But the emotion after the Oklahoma game, we saw with Ohio State going to Wisconsin, same thing happens here. Nebraska coming off a big win over Oklahoma State, I think, that this is Nebraska's time at home. We'll talk more. Nebraska's going to beat Missouri. We'll pick the NFL. We got a few more college games to pick right here. This is Voice America Sports. There'll be some upsets this week. Maybe more. This may become upset weekend. This is Voice America Sports. We are Unfiltered. Going to finish up our Friday hour.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. perfect time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time. Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Back to our college pitch. Thank you again for Anthony for the call. Rio, go over them again. I got Iowa going to beat Michigan State at home. Number 5, number 19 in the human polls. I'm going to take in the coaches poll. I'm taking Iowa at home. Missouri at Nebraska. I love Missouri. I really do. I love the way they're playing. But going into Nebraska, that's a hard place to play in that sea of red. I'm taking Nebraska. I just feel it, and I won't be shocked if Washington upsets Stanford. I just won't. I'm taking Stanford to win. But that could be the one that you say, oh, my gosh. And then another good game. You know, we're not talking about Robert Griffin and the Heisman talk. But being here in Texas, he's got Baylor going on now. It's a good player. They're going to have a hard time containing him the way Texas has played. The game's in Austin after a big loss. I'll take Texas to win the game. But if Robert Griffin has a lights-out game, if he has a lights-out game, they're going to beat Texas. They're going to upset Texas right there in Austin and in at Longhorns, right there in their stadium. But I'm going to take Texas because I think they'll respond. But if Griffin goes lights out, look out. And then obviously the big game of the week is Southern Cal and Oregon, and I'm taking Oregon to win. It's homecoming at SC. It's the primetime game. Matt Barkley's played lights out, but the defense is just not. I don't see how SC's defense stops Oregon. As long as Oregon plays good football, they're going to win the game. But if SC plays great and forces turnovers and doesn't, you can't get in a fist fight when it comes to scoring match and play showtime up and down the court basketball. It can't be fast break basketball. SC's offense is really good, but I think SC's got to play methodical, and I do. They got to play methodical, and they've got to. The only way they're going to stop Oregon is by keeping Oregon's offense on the field, because Oregon's going to score. They're going to score. So the question is, do you hold it? Give me 4 yards. Give me 12 yards. Get a big play. Give me 3 yards, 3 yards, 6 yards. Long drives. And in no time, even though Oregon can score fast, boy, would SC like to shorten this game. I'm taking Oregon to win. And I don't know how many times I've picked Oregon to beat USC since I've been away from SC, but this is one of them. I think Oregon's the best team in the country. NFL preview. Let's roll through it. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Cowboys. I'm taking Jacksonville to beat Dallas. I am. Backup quarterback. I know everybody can say Dallas's back's to the wall. Well, their back's been to the wall since they started the season. This is a team that right now, we're going to find out if there's cowards on this team, if they show up and play it. 1-5, their season's done. They're not winning 9 out of 10 to get to the playoffs. They're just not. They're not winning 9 out of 10 to get to the playoffs. And they're 0-3 or 0-4 now in the NFC, whatever it is. They're done. Sorry. and a backup quarterback, and I love John Kitna, and John will play hard, but this team isn't very good. And Jacksonville, who has a bye next week, may be fighting for Jack Del Rio's job, because if they get their ass kicked by Dallas, and Jack is, I'd love him, but don't be surprised. They may make a change during the bye week. Could happen. So I expect Jacksonville to come out and play hard. I just don't like the fight the Cowboys put up. I don't. I think they're going to end up 1-6, be lucky to win 5 games this year. The 49ers at Broncos, the Broncos have to respond. 49ers are going with Troy Smith at quarterback. Alex Smith not going to play. I think, and while Troy can run and throw, you Ohio State player people know. But the Denver Broncos, after that humiliation, I don't see the Broncos not showing up for this one. Even though the 49ers, I think, are a better team, I'm going to pick Denver, and I don't know why, other than it's home. And I can't imagine you're going to allow yourself to be embarrassed again. Orton's 26-63 passing the last 2 games. Tim Tebow time's coming up if this keeps up, folks. And Tim Tebow's a better leader, and he'll win. Tim Tebow, he's an NFL. He's going to play in the NFL at that position. I'm going to take the Broncos to win. Dolphins at Bengals, I'm going to take the Dolphins to come in and beat Cincinnati. I am. I don't like the way the Bengals could score offense. They don't know how to close games, and the Dolphins might have got screwed over last week. It's still out there, but it's still a loss for them. The Dolphins are going to come in and win. Buffalo, Kansas City, Kansas City wins. But I'm going to tell you what, eventually Buffalo's going to disrupt the playoff picture. They came out there and threw the ball around, Ryan Fitzpatrick did, really proud of him, man. They battled and I talked to somebody in Baltimore this week who said that the Ravens felt that Buffalo was going to go down and win the game if Ray Lewis doesn't strip that ball. Good for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Great game for him, and they'll keep fighting too, Buffalo does, but Kansas City is the better team. They win. Redskins at Lions, sneaky game here, folks. Sneaky game. I'm telling you that the Lions, as hard as they play, can win this game. I'm going to take the Redskins because they're the veteran team, and I think that they're going to go in and win this game. But the Detroit Lions can win this game. And you bettors out there, when I start getting my website up that starts picking games against the spread, you're going to make yourself some money now. You're going to make yourself some money. If you're picking against the spread, I'm taking the Redskins this week. Let me just pick straight up for you. But the Detroit Lions, in 2 years, they're going to be what the Arizona Cardinals were and what the Houston Texans are doing. This team is going to be something to be reckoned with shortly. Believe me on this now. Panthers at Rams. The Rams are going to win. The Carolina Panthers, while they battled and battled and got their win, I had the Rams and Sam Bradford, I'm impressed with the way the Rams play. I'm going to take the Rams at home. And I would not have picked the Rams at home in preseason in this game. Looking on the schedule, I would have said Rams are not going to win. Packers at Jets. This is a really good game, but the Packers, just too many close games. The Jets are going to blitz and pressure. I don't know if the Packers can hold up right now, and they sure as heck better run the ball. I think it's the first time all year I've picked against the Packers. I'm taking the Jets at home. Tennessee at San Diego. Do the Chargers show up once? I'll take them this week at 2-5. I'll take them to stay alive, to respond, for Phillip Rivers again to put him in position to win, and maybe they'll capitalize. But Jeff Fisher's team goes out there, and man alive, are they sneaky good. At 5-2 and 2-5, I'll take the Chargers at home this week. I think I'm stupid with this pick. Maybe it's an emotional pick for the Chargers. Titans play harder, but the Chargers, I think, can pull this one out. Vikings at Patriots, Favre plays or not, I'm taking the New England Patriots, and there may be trouble brewing there because Brett's going to want to play. Is Childress going to cut off his nose to spite his face and say we're better off with Tavares Jackson and be the guy, the first guy in 19 years that had the balls to bench Brett Favre? Time will tell. Or will people say Brett's selfish, he wants to keep the streak going, but he's not healthy enough to play? You're going to get both sides of that. You'll hear that a lot this week on pregame shows and all over the talk. New England's going to beat Minnesota regardless. Without Moss, New England can still win and can still win a Super Bowl. Seahawks at Raiders. You know what? I'm going to take the Raiders. Seahawks don't play great on the road. They beat Chicago. But I'm going to take the Raiders. Coming off a big win, I don't think they have a letdown. I think momentum continues on, and the Raiders get to 4-4. I'm going to take Oakland at home. If this game was in Seattle, I'd take Seattle. Tampa Bay at Arizona. Arizona's going to get beat. Tampa Bay's a good football team. Sneaky good. Arizona quarterback, is Matt Hall going to play? He's on track to play. Don't know. A lot of question marks. How much practice? Take the Arizona Cardinals to get beat. Tampa will go on the road and beat them and get to 5-2. And then the New Orleans Saints in Pittsburgh on Sunday. The Saints are not the same team, and they're coming off an embarrassing loss. Breeze will play better in this game, but Pittsburgh's too physical. Pittsburgh is too physical, and the physicality is going to wear the Saints out. Saints are going to end up 4-4, and Atlanta's going to have the inside track on that. Look for Pittsburgh to run it, but I expect Ben Roethlisberger to make big plays. It comes down to this, folks. Finesse doesn't beat physical very often. And that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers will continue to prove why they're the best team in football right now. And then on Monday night, baseball ratings on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'm sorry for you guys. I'm sorry for you, but it ain't going to matter because people are going to watch Peyton Manning on Monday. People are going to watch Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees on Sunday. And on Saturday, people are going to be watching SC Oregon and the national title implications, other than Texas fans and Giants fans. And there's plenty of Giants fans that are USC fans also. Okay? You're going to get both. And the Indianapolis Colts, the Texans got them the first time, not going to get them this time. At Indianapolis, Peyton Manning carries this team. I think the all-around Texans are a better team, but they can't defend the pass. Peyton will throw it all over the lot. The Colts will win at home, and Peyton will continue his quest to shatter every passing record on the planet. Colts win. They get to 5-2 and keep that lead on the Houston Texans. They're tied now, but they're going to get up and be right back in first place. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Voice America Sports. I hope you have a great football weekend and a baseball weekend if you're Rangers fans. If not, even if you're a Giants fan, you're in the driver's seat. Fat lady's humming. She may be singing loud around 9, 10 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night. This is Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are unfiltered. I didn't talk about my show today too much on and too much to talk about. I'll tell you about my new television show. It's going to rock it. Think Jon Stewart, but sports with comedy. I get to host it. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Voice America Sports. Boy, do I love my life, and I'm blessed to have you guys as fans.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.